The first reading is from Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself, and he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense beaten small, and he shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it with his finger on front of the mercy seat on the east side, and in front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel, and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleannesses. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house, and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull, and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleannesses of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel, and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat, and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He enters his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "Will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the 6th hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Again, good to see everybody tonight. What a good turnout for our opportunity to worship, have this midweek Lenten service. And I really want to have you think closely again about these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the 6th hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. In this pandemic of illness, there's a lot of confusion swirling around us. But in the middle of all of that confusion, there can be a great calm, the great calm of Jesus, that we especially saw as Pastor Adel read that larger gospel reading from John chapter 19. Jesus in Jerusalem on trial before Pilate, everybody yelling and accusing him, and Pilate in a confused kind of way trying to sort out the right from the wrong. What a tragic and confusing day that was. Pilate was trying to make sense of it all. And it's kind of sad that every Sunday we confess our faith in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the only human being that gets mentioned in the creed every Sunday is Pilate. Pilate was not able to overcome the forces that were against him. It's a very sad thing for him not to be able to deliver Jesus. There is a whole church body called the Coptic Church in Egypt. They actually believe that Pilate later on became a Christian. We don't know that for sure, but we could tell he was trying to maintain control. He didn't want this crucifixion to take place. His wife, St. Matthew tells us, even told him, have nothing to do with this innocent man. The accusations against Jesus at first were theological. He was accused of making himself the Son of God. Pilate inquired about that a little bit. And we can only wonder what went on in Pilate's mind. Was he thinking Jesus was nuts? Or at least he was innocent? And then the accusations became political. Jesus made himself to be a king. And then they told Pilate the words he certainly didn't want to hear, the words that no Roman would ever want to hear. And those words were, you're no friend of Caesar if you allow anyone to go free who says he is king. Pilate knew that Tiberius was the emperor of Rome at that time, a very unstable man, constantly putting down every possible threat to his empire and to his throne. And he knows that if he would have allowed Jesus to go free, he probably would have been recalled to Rome, and perhaps he would have been put to death. Pilate tried to let Jesus go, but Pilate was no match for the rulers of darkness. And so, as we see the imperfections of mankind and the inabilities of even the most powerful institutions on earth, government, unable to control the evil, Jesus became the scapegoat. We heard Pastor Adel read about that in Leviticus. The two goats were brought out along with other sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. One was sacrificed for sins, and the other was called the scapegoat. Aaron the high priest put his hands on the head of that goat, confessed the sins of the people of Israel, and then that goat was taken out into the wilderness. All of those sacrifices, the bull, the goats, other sacrifices of sheep, and so on, were all sacrifices that foreshadowed the sacrifice of Jesus. We know that sin is unfair. It's wrong. A man who commits murder, no matter if he spends his entire life in prison, will still be a murderer. There's nothing we can do to remove sin. No excuses. And certainly no vague hope in our goodness to compensate for our sins are really going to help us in this life. In all of the troubles of life, we will find ourselves caught into that swirling vortex of anger, of doubt, of fear, of confusion. What we need is certainty. And the certainty is found, as God knew, in the innocent. At first, it were those innocent animals that took the brunt of the sins away from the people of Israel. But it would be later Jesus, God's own Son, the most innocent and the most perfect and glorious of all, who would be that scapegoat to take away the sins of the world. That's the way John the Baptist described him. And this is the way Peter described it in his first letter, first chapter, verses 17 to 19. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. Notice those words. God judges according to each one's work. All of us will have to give an account of our life. Peter goes on. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were redeemed, not redeemed, with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In this Lenten season, that's a wonderful thing for us to just think about and contemplate, that of all the wonderful things God does for every single person in this world is to send His Son to be our scapegoat for me and a scapegoat for you, to free us from our fears, our doubts, our regrets, to take away all of those things and to send them out into the wilderness that He makes possible by His grace. Everyone at that trial of Jesus was struggling. There was confusion everywhere. There were doubts. There were frustrations. But the eye of that storm was certainly Jesus. Jesus gives us that same calm as well, knowing this, that if our sins really are taken away, then there is nothing else in this world that can possibly harm us. Yesterday, we lost a wonderful member of our church. Many of you knew Phyllis Wallace. Phyllis was always working on great projects in her life. She started our Wednesday Woman Bible Study and ran that for many years. Later, that moved on to become a radio Bible study producer called Woman to Woman with the Lutheran Hour. She was always working on something. Yesterday, we had a very small funeral service for her. We hope to have a much bigger one later on, after some of these virus fears hopefully go away. But the family even joked about it yesterday. Her husband Richard said, "We always said Phyllis would die on her way to Wednesday Woman." She lived her life in the fullest way, overflowing with energy and all of her activities. But her greatest project was completed yesterday when she finally drew her last breath and died. All of that was prepared for by her whole life, beginning with her baptism, her learning about Jesus and living in Jesus, and later on being able to teach many others about Jesus. But a year and a half ago, when she was diagnosed with an incurable cancer, she was underway with the greatest project of her life. And she told me, in all honesty, as great as she had been in proclaiming the gospel of Christ in many ways, there were times when she had her doubts. It kind of wavered back and forth at times. But together we talked about these two rock-bottom, solid, simple truths. First, life is a gift that can be given again. If life is a gift and God gave it once, there's no reason why He can't also give it to us another time. When we are taken from this veil of tears to be with Jesus, and again on the resurrection on the last day, life is a gift that can be given again. And the second thing we talked about was Jesus. Because nobody wants this life over again. We want a different life. We want a perfect life. And we see that in Jesus, that perfect man, perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Not to give us just a longer life here on earth with all of its troubles, not to give us another life that is probably just as bad as this one, but to give us the life that God has always wanted us to have, that perfect life made possible by Pilate's scapegoat, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.